Welcome to Dunzo. This is a podcast that explores hookups and breakups of famous lovers and friends, both real and fake, and all the discarded pop culture of yesteryear. I'm your host, Troy McEady. Okay, you guys, welcome to episode, I don't know what this is, of Dunzo. It is me, Troy McEady. And this is, I mean, you knew that this was going to happen. Like, obviously, this was definitely going to happen. I am joined for a part two of my Ashley Simpson, I guess this is an Ashley Simpson thing that we're doing. Yeah. With my friend, Jesse Chambly. Yeah.
Yes, the Frenchman, Jesse Chambly. Yeah, that's me.
How are you?
I am great. And Troy, we couldn't keep our hands off of each other. We started talking about this and you're like, you have to come back for a future episode. And then it was like, okay, it's just here. The future is now. Future nostalgia.
I know. We've been talking about it nonstop, literally, like, since we fucking met, pretty much. Yeah. And this is huge. I mean, like, I was really excited for autobiography, but then when we decided we were going to do this, I was even more excited because I really love this album. So I'm excited to hear your thoughts about it.
Yeah. Ditto. I told you, I was like, I don't know where you're going to go, because we stayed away from specifics in our conversation and, you know, keep things exciting. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Tell me, what was your introduction to I Am Me? What was it like when it came out for you? Like, tell me all the things.
So I will be honest, I wasn't as privy to some of the drama around her and second album release. Like, I knew obviously like what had happened on SNL, but I didn't think it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. My lens was through Mad TV, really, because this was my Mad TV era where I was watching clips of it a lot. And so I knew there was a little bit of controversy. I don't know if we had cable at this point or not. I didn't have cable for a portion of my life, and that kind of controlled media, right? Still. Same. at this period of time, because it was 2005. I must have had cable because I feel like I was watching Degrassi, but anyway, that's a different story. I don't know if we had MTV. We probably just had VH1.
Okay.
Which, you know, changes the conversation. Totally. VH1 is a little less gossipy at that point. So I was just excited for another Ashley Simpson album. I mean, just done. I liked the first one and I was like, all right, let's give the second one a try. I remember I never heard Boyfriend on the radio, but I saw the music video. Maybe I did have MTV now that I'm thinking about it. Anyway, all that to say, this was one of those, oh, I like this artist, I'm sticking with it, but it doesn't seem like the rest of the world is sticking with it as much as I am, which was the story of my life.
Oh my God, say no, say less. That, by the way, you just summed up my entire podcast.
Okay, well, I gotta go. We did what we needed to do. I summed up the of many people in these mid-early aughts.
No, like, for real. It's like, yeah, it was like, I feel like I had that moment all the time of having to realize that, like, I was the last person on the train. Like, looking around, like, oh, we're at the station again? Oh, huh. It was like one of those moments. But, like, I don't know, for me, I Am Me was like Ashley really leaning into being a pop star, like where the first album sort of felt like this thing that just sort of happened and just so happened to be really successful. And who would have predicted that it would be so successful? Mm-hmm. And then this, and it was like, you know, it was like a young girl just sort of being not pushed, but I would say like sort of guided on what she should and shouldn't be doing. I Am Me feels like Ashley fully realized. Like, this is her, like, full WandaVision moment to me. Like, this is Ashley being like, oh, no, I am, like, a pop star. I have a voice. And also, she had become this, like, fashion girl at this time. Mm-hmm. And I love when somebody randomly becomes, becomes a fashion girl. Because then that's a whole nother, like, element to your career. It's a whole different thing.
Stuff by Hilary Duff.
Very that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I love that you just brought up stuff by Hilary Duff. I just had a That's So Raven moment. Did you see that? I like completely disconnected.
I saw you. I wish the readers could see you, though, to see the zoom in on your eyeball that I saw.
Yeah. Also, just for you guys know that I love a tacky Zoom background. And right now, I'm leaving a club with Paris, Lindsay, and Ashley. Paris looks ravaged by alcohol and cocaine. Lindsay is fresh-faced and dewy and still has her ginger hair. And Ashley is just, like, one of the girls. Like, she's hanging out. She's one of the girls for a night out.
Yeah. This was Lindsay's, I'm still a ginger, but a dark, like, auburn-y ginger.
Right.
I really liked that phase of hair for her.
You almost have her exact hair color right now, by the way.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
You're like describing your own hair.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm telling the truth, Lindsay Lohan is my hair inspiration. I went to the stylist last year. I was bored and I was like, I am going to dye my hair, but I'm not going to go blonde because that's cliche for a white gay man to go blonde. Right. And so I channeled Lindsay Lohan, which is a different cliche, but not one that resonates with Gen Z. So I was fine.
You know, that's actually iconic because it's like, you really have to be a certain kind of person to pull off like bold red hair. And it's really good. It's a good red.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's get into the first single of this iconic album. I'm so excited to hear your thoughts on Boyfriend.
Yeah.
Tell me everything.
Well, I wanted to discuss a few of the logistics before we talked about Boyfriend, though.
Sure.
Well, one, I'm a chart nerd. I like to know how things do, how they perform. Mm-hmm. And this album was a number one album for her.
It's huge.
Which is great. And it's funny that it was kind of considered a flop. But it sold like 220,000 in the first week.
It's huge.
That's really big. Imagine if something like that happened right now. You know what I mean? Like it would be a deal. It happens sometimes, but it would be a really big deal. So I wanted to just talk about that it still did really well regarding the charts. Now I read a really interesting review, though, too. Okay. I also love critic reviews because I think that they don't age well. I think that a critic can review something and then a year later it means something different to people. And then imagine that 10 years later, right?
Right.
So Rolling Stone gave it a 1.5 out of 5 stars.
Are you? That is so petty. Oh my God.
This is the quote that really got me when I was reading through this. Called the album a collection of 11 soulless tunes that fail to even qualify as guilty pleasures, and said that in venturing to offer something for everyone, Simpson offers nothing for anyone.
Honestly, that to me is just a real, like, it's like, this is how we used to sort of discard women, especially like young girls back in the day. Like, that's such an unnecessary review.
They could have said, like, see, like Blender said it was a sophomore slump, which I was like, okay, that's fine. You don't have to, it's soulless and offers nothing for anyone because 220,000 people bought it and all of these teen girls and young gay men were clearly still loving it.
Yeah, and it had big singles. Like, Boyfriend was a huge single. L-O-V-E was a big single. And it performed and charted. Like, you can't just be like, nobody likes it, pack it up, and close the books. It's like, you're a fucking music publication.
Yeah, you can acknowledge that it's not a smash hit like the first one.
Yeah.
It's fine. But, that one really took me out. I was not expecting to read that. And I think the early 2000s and specifically were really ruthless in what people said, in general, but specifically with the album reviews, they were pretty bad. They still are. I'm not going to say that they aren't, but it's really cutting to read it now as an adult whenever I didn't really read album reviews as much when I was younger. Now I do, especially for prior albums.
For sure. Yeah, old album reviews, especially, that was perfect because Rolling Stone is like the co-host of this podcast, basically, honestly.
Yeah, especially your Christina series.
Yeah, what would that have even been without Rolling Stone, honestly?
You just read five pages of quotes from every Rolling Stone.
Five pages of Christina going through the drive-thru at McDonald's in a limo. Well, you have to tell me your thoughts on Boyfriend. Like, is this a song that, first of all, tell me, obviously I want to know, like, what you thought of it back then and everything, but, like, is it a song that holds up to you?
Yeah, I think I like it more now, to be honest with you.
Me too.
Most of all, I didn't understand what she was saying when I was younger. Not even like the meaning of the song. Like, I don't think she was enunciating well in the chorus. And so I thought she was saying, "I dance to your boyfriend," which is even more scandalous if you think about it, because I thought that this was about like a guy noticing her who was taken and her just being like, "Not my problem," and like, which like it kind of also is, but just not so on the nose, you know what I mean?
Totally.
But yeah, no, it holds up for me. I liked it when I was younger, but I didn't really get what was happening, and then the context helped when I got a little bit older and also reading the lyrics.
Right. I love that you thought it was some dancing to your boyfriend. Oh my god, that's iconic. I'm dancing to your boyfriend. Right.
I can't. And Ashley Simpson dancing is already weird. So imagine.
A lot of lick, a lot of jiggles, yeah. A lot of wiggles. Yeah. Yeah. Little hand things.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
what about you?
I love this song. I think it's such a strong album opener. It's such a strong first single. And I really specifically remember this. I mean, I thought the song was really catchy and stuff when it came out and I really liked it, but I mostly just remember like the visual element of this song. I remember the music video and the making the video. And this was Ashley's like introduction as a fashion girl. And I remember it being a big deal with my friends that she was wearing like punky, edgy, skinny jeans and stilettos. Like, I remember that being, like, a moment.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, that just unlocked something for me.
Yeah, because I remember my friends being like, wait a minute, you can wear stilettos with skinny jeans? And the whole, everybody's world opened up. And I just thought it was really smart as far as marketing, too, to open the album with this, like, sort of tabloidy, you know, very, like, you know, of the moment song. And even if the song wasn't great, which it was, but even if it wasn't, it would have been talked about because of the, like, the Lindsay Lohan element of the story. Like, it was, it had so much free press because it
driver's license or driver's license, you know what I mean?
Totally. Absolutely.
And Lindsay Lohan's umpteenth love triangle.
Right. I know. Seriously. And this is, like, I mean, the Wilmer years. This is like when everybody wanted to be with fucking Wilmer, and like everybody, if you were on the cusp of turning 18, you were with Wilmer. There's a chance that you were. If your 18th birthday was next year, you probably had a moment with Wilmer. I'm just
saying. Oh my gosh, he's such a groomer.
He's so gross, but also so annoyingly hot.
I know. I'm like, why do you have to be so attractive? But like, I can't do it.
I know. He's disgusting. Yeah, I just remembered like that like tabloidy element being huge for this song. Like, I was just like so locked into that story and like waiting to see how people would respond and the back and forth. And I'll never forget her like going on TRL and talking about it and being like it can be a song about anything, and like not like owning it. It's like, are you kidding? So stupid. Oh my god, but no, it's great. And the music video is really fun to revisit. I just watched it this morning.
Yeah. So speaking of this song and knowing you now, the very beginning where she does the little do you consider that a squeak or not?
Is this okay? Well, obviously I wanted to talk to you about this.
Okay.
So this is a mostly squeakless album, I will say.
I know.
And that hurts me. It's more of a, like, there are a lot of groans, there are a lot of moans, there are a lot of rasps, but there are a few squeaks. Do you know what I'm saying?
I can't even collect myself.
Because you know that there are a lot of moans. There's a lot of, yeah, like, sensual sounds.
I was going to say groans for sure. And when I say groan, though, I don't mean it always in the actual definition of groan. I mean it as a growl and a moan together.
You took the words right out of my mouth, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's like a raspy, like I'm going to cut that out. Wait, how far are we in? However many minutes in, Troy, cut that out. but no, it's not. There are no like fun squeaks, which hurts me. But I do love those weird sounds at the beginning of this song.
I do too. They were always something that I remembered. And, you know, when there's something like that in a song, an element of that in a song, I always want to know what happened in the studio. It's reminiscent of, you know, whenever, especially like hip hop and rap, whenever there's like, you know, in the background, like a woman, like, especially like in the early 2000s, like, were they like, okay, like, Jessica, come here. And then they were like, okay, now moan into the mic. And she was like, Jessica, I'm sorry, that was the first name that came to mind, but I'm not talking about Jessica Simpson.
I know.
Whatever girl came in, woman came in, and they were like, okay, moan. And she was like, and they're like, no, I need a little more feeling next time.
Like, can you pinch your arm and then record the reaction into the mic? Go.
Ow.
And then they would put a bunch of weird, like studio shit over the moan to make it sound like really intense or weird.
Cut all of this out. All of
literally, this whole podcast is not gonna, it won't see the light of day, by the way.
This is after dark. You're not gonna, right. It's not gonna air.
Yeah, this is a $40 Patreon exclusive. You have to be a VIP exclusive member on Patreon. It's a $100 episode.
Oh my gosh. But anyway, all that to say, I love her noise in the beginning. It's iconic.
Yeah, it's great. It's something only Ashley could do, and I wish that we, like, I miss it. Let's talk about In Another Life.
Yeah, I love this song.
You do? Okay, tell me everything.
I love this song. It reminds me of, like, 14 other songs that are named In Another Life. There's a Veronica song that has a little bit of a different tone, but the same message that I really like, called In Another Life. This is also, the other thing about this album is that it is essentially Lindsay Lohan's sophomore album. They are the same album. They're spiritual cousins. I wish that there wasn't drama between them, because they could have kind of, you know, Ashley was selling more records than Lindsay, even though Lindsay was more famous, so that's weird. But mm-hmm. They really could have had something here. Anyway, all that to say, Lindsay Lohan has a song called Black Hole, and it's not the same message, but I think they are both sides of the same coin, right? It's kind totally. Of opposite, but it's the same feeling that it evokes.
That's actually, yeah, this is Lindsay. I didn't really think about that, but this does sound like Lindsay's sophomore album. That's
a little
wild.
More personal, in parentheses, raw. Yeah.
Yeah. So In Another Life is a song that I forget I like. And then when it plays, I'm like, I don't want to listen to this. And then the chorus happens.
It's so good.
And I'm like, oh, bitch. Oh.
I like the verses too. I like this song. It's a cliche, but I like it. It works for me.
It's really fun to sing. It's got good call and response. You know what I mean? Yeah, very that. It's very, yeah. Rock hands tongue out.
But like, sensitive side of that.
Yeah. Yes. It's a limp wrist rock hand.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I'm gay and I'm edgy.
And I love rock and roll. I will tell you that I think it's placed and it's oddly placed on the album. I don't think it should be track two.
This should be like post middle of the album stride. I'm slowing down. Yeah. I'm with
you. Yeah. Like showing a different side of myself. This is not a second. This is a weird song to put at as number two and be like, this is what the album's going to sound like. Because it kind of doesn't really. Doesn't really represent the theme of the album.
Yeah. I figured like LOVE or Coming Back for More would have made more sense for the first part of the album.
Yeah. That's kind of all I have to say about it, to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest. I don't love it.
Okay. I really like it, but I get why someone wouldn't love it. It sometimes just like filler songs really hit me. You know what I mean?
Girl, you know that I speak to that thought. Again, oddly placed, beautifully broken. Three? The third song?
I never seek this song out, obviously. I don't hate it. Sometimes I play it. Most times I'll play it. Half of the time I will play it. But this one's about SNL, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's the give us the background, expert?
Oh God. Well, this is a trauma album. Right? This is an album about like all the things that you watched me go through last year. This is Ashley's sort of like pop punk stripped, if you will. This song is about SNL. It's about, you know, it's a real like sticks and stones moment, you know? And like, I think even though it's not a song that I like would seek out at all, like I've never been like, I've got to hear Beautifully Broken before I go into work. You know what I mean? Like
I want to know, do you think anyone has said that?
No, I really do not. Okay, I can't fathom that somebody's like, oh, I gotta listen to Beautifully Broken real quick. Like,
listeners might prove us wrong though.
That's true. And if you are listening to this and this is like your favorite song on this album or you had a moment with it, I would love to hear about it because it's a good song. I mean, let's be like, it's a very decent, very, very decent sort of like rocky ballad. And yeah. That's kind of all I have to say about it, to be honest. I mean, it's sad. It's a really sad song.
Yeah, it is. It's not the third song third track on an album song. It didn't make any sense.
It's really, really odd. And I think that can really ruin the experience that you have with a song when it's not placed right. Like, this should be towards the end when things are, like you said, when things are slowing down. Yeah, it's that's all I really have to say about Beautifully Broken.
I'm with you.
This is a moment that we're about to have a moment.
But now, yeah, this is, if you're unaware of what's coming up next, you better, if you're listening in the car, you better grip that steering wheel.
Girl, will you be my girl for life? Girl for life. LOVE, tell me everything.
Well, this joins an iconic lineup of songs that teach you how to spell a word. So I am all about that from, you know, from the get-go. Generally, it like, not only if the title has the, you know, the letters, the acronym, but if it actually spells out the word, I'm like, I'm already 45% sold that I'm going to. Totally. And, you know, I'm going to let you launch into this because I know you have strong feelings, but one thing I have to say is when she says hello, it just sounds like she's trying to be British. Hello, 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 V-E. Hello, hello.
Wait, okay. Do you remember this music video? Have you ever seen this one?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. What, oh gosh, it's leaving me now. They had a cell phone that was like prominently featured in this, didn't they?
Yes. And she does spells LOVE with her fingers. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I Okay, so do you remember the first time you saw this? I do not, but I want to know if you did.
I actually do because of her hair.
Hmm.
I remember her because of her hair, because this was like the very, very beginning. And I really honestly think, because Ashley was really spearheading hair moments at this, like from the black box dye onward with the red and the blonde, like all of the different looks, they were moments in time. Like she was giving Hair Magazine at the salon fantasy tees, darling. And I remember this fucking haircut, bleached out bob, and then the front was like long on one side.
And the hat?
Right, the pimp hat.
Yeah.
This was a moment. This song for me, I'm going to tell you what the song represents for me.
Okay.
And I feel bold. I feel comfortable saying this now. This song for me represents being underage and drunk with my friends, like when their parents, like somebody's parents were out of town and we like scammed ourselves into a bottle of liquor and it's the middle of the day and we're drunk and scream singing this song. Like this to me, just like, this is a scream singy teenage song.
Yeah. And so, yes, it sounds like they're having a girls' night, which is more adult than they were allowed to do. But the very opening line is so confusing to me. All my girls stand in a circle. Clap your hands. This is for you. I'm like, what are they doing? Is this a seance? Is this a middle school dance? Are they at church camp? I don't know. But I just imagine all, like, doing that, like, hands overhead, like, skinny white girl dance thing that you know was a popular thing where they're like
she's like, we invoke Minnow, we call to the watchtowers of the east and the west.
Oh my god.
Ashley's like singing with a bird in a cage.
Gosh. I'm done. I'm logging out. That just brought so many things that I'm passionate about together. just like lesbian culture, witch things. Just
like witch stuff. I love this fucking song so much. And yeah, it's very, I mean, it's definitely like, and ironically, Holla Back Girl came out the same year.
Yeah, I got a lot of comparisons to that.
Yeah, so like, that's wild. And yeah, it was just a fun time to spell out words and songs. It was fun.
Do you think that, well, okay, a couple of hypothetical questions about this song.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this song should have been a smash hit because of all the elements. It was a little bit shorter, so it's easy to play on the radio. It would have been good for streaming now. So I'm just wondering, do you think it would have been a bigger hit if it were released at a different time and you'll just have to be honest with yourself here, and or it were released by a different artist?
So the first problem is that you're asking me to be honest with myself, and this whole podcast, it hinges on my delusion. So that might be an issue. No, I definitely think that it would have been a much bigger hit later, especially because Holla Back Girl was such a major pop culture moment, and they, like you said, the comparisons were like all over the place. Yeah. I do think had this come out later, it would have been a much different story. I don't know, and you're right. I do remember it getting radio play, but
got more radio boyfriend in my part of the world.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember, so in my high school, they used to play, in between classes, they would play the radio, like in the hallway. And I just remember this song would be on all the time. Like, yeah.
Were you, like, in the splits, like, popping it in between classes?
No, like, fully walking to class, like, on a handstand in the splits.
Were you wearing skinny jeans and stilettos, be honest?
Yeah. At the moment, I had a bleached out bob, and the front was really long.
I would die to see you with that hair. I don't know what I would
do. You kind of are, honestly.
It's because of the Zoom background, everyone. That's what he.
Yeah. Just Paris's body is being held up behind me as she like staggers through the streets. But no, yeah, I mean, this is a great single. This is a great, like, I don't know. I mean, I think that this was like a fall album. I remember reading something about September. This would have been a good summer song.
Yes, exactly. I think that there was just some timing things with this. It could have been way bigger. Mm-hmm. I wonder, it didn't fit the vibe of Autobiography, but I wonder if this were the single instead of La La, what would have happened with Autobiography.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, why'd you do that?
It's not the same vibe, and so it wouldn't have fit, but something like this instead of La La, a little dancier, I don't know. I this is where my mind is.
Well, this is where my mind will be for the next probably 8 years, honestly. You just ruined my life. Okay, I'm really excited to talk about this next song. It's one of my favorites, Coming Back for More.
Okay,
oh go. My God, okay. So this is like easily one of my favorite Ashley songs just in general of her entire career. It's a huge standout moment for me. It's probably one of the most, like if there was like a number to each song of how many times I've listened to all of them, this would be really high. This week's episode is sponsored by Helix, who I am forever indebted to for correcting my lifelong struggles with sleep. I don't know about you, but I'm obsessed with sleeping through the night and falling into a deep, deep REM sleep almost immediately because you're at such a max level of comfort. I'm obsessed with little things like that. Helix is a sleep quiz that takes about 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress made just for you. Helix is very aware of the fact that it makes no sense to spend a bunch of money on a random mattress made for some random person who isn't you, that has a totally different body type than you. It's a fool's game. With Helix, you're getting a mattress you can guarantee will be perfect for your body. And for that alone, we can't help but to worship the doll. Helix also understands that every person is unique, so they have several different mattress models to choose from. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses, mattresses that are great for cooling you down if you sleep hot, and they have Helix Plus, which is a mattress made for the plus-size folks. I took the Helix quiz and got matched with the Helix Plus, which I love because it's just firm enough, but not so firm that I feel like I'm sleeping in a jail. So if you're in the market for a mattress, go ahead and take the quiz, order the mattress you're matched to, and it comes right to your door, shipped for free, and you'll never need to visit a mattress store again, which in 2021 just doesn't sound like the greatest thing to do. Helix is awesome, but you do not have to take my word for it, gal friend. It was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired Magazine. Go to helixsleep.com/dunzo, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life, I promise you. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't like it, but I can guarantee you will. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/dunzo. It would have been such a fun single, and I just think it's so fun to sing, and it's so catchy, and I love the lyrics. I love the instrument, even the instrumental in the song is really fun after the breakdown when it's just the guitar. It hits really hard for me.
Yeah. No, I agree. I really like this song. I can't remember back whenever I had the album, whenever it first came out. I don't remember if I sought this song out or not, but I know I never skipped it. I really liked it. It's just not one that was like front of mind for me.
Totally, I get that. Yeah, it's like you forget about it almost until it happens.
I think it was the placement. I think it was weird. And the middle of this album is, I don't know how I feel about it always. And so I think that it was after LOVE, and it was before like when the album really gets like gritty for me toward the end. Mm-hmm. So I think it was too close to Dancing Alone, which I'll talk about how I feel in a moment, but it was just kind of like,
shrug. I get it. No, I totally get that. And I agree with you what you said earlier. I think that this should have been the second track.
Yes. Yeah. 1000%. Because you come off of Boyfriend and you're like, yeah, like F those girls. I didn't dance to your boyfriend. And then all of a sudden it's just like you're in another life, even though I love that song.
Yeah, I mean, it could have at least been third. I mean, it's like, it's wild that this, and yeah, this has like boyfriend vibes, like that feels like it's part of the same collection. Yeah, I don't know what it is about this song. I love there's something about the like bass in the background that like brum.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I wish that this song had I would like pay for the music video for this. Like I would like fund it myself. It'd be very low budget.
Right now, where she's post nose job, she's got kids. We're like, Ashley, I need this to be a music video. Thank you.
Please. Like, please, can we cut your hair into a bob again? Please.
You're like, I will pay you $165 to make this.
You have $75 with your name written on it, gal. Are you around? Okay. But
I think it's really strong. I think that it could have been a single. If the vibes are a little bit different in this era and, you know, she wasn't shrouded in controversy, she could have released this as the third single. And I'm going to say one of the slower songs for her fourth single, but I'm not going to say which one.
Okay. All right. Did you see my eyes just now? Again, mm-hmm. Rats or Raven eyes.
Got to throw it out there and I got to tease you.
Okay. Can we talk about Dancing Alone, please?
Yeah.
For the love of everything holy in this world. Can we talk about the strongest?
Oh, okay, go. I want to hear.
This is my favorite Ashley Simpson song. What do you think about that?
I need you to walk me through that. I don't want to like yuck someone's yum, but this is an interesting choice for me. So like the rationale.
Okay, so let me just start by saying that I'm pretty sure Dancing Alone has been on every like random music playlist I've made since 2005. It's just a major standout moment for me, and it gives me there. So this album has some 80s moments, some 80s kind of like prommy moments, and this gives me very like if Carly Rae Jepsen had like a pop punk moment. It's just got good like 80s synth. It's dancey, it's catchy. I love the way her voice sounds in it. And I also love sad girl pop.
Yeah, that makes sense. Same.
Like, even just the title, Dancing Alone, and like her just repeating over and over that she's dancing by herself. Like, it's just, I couldn't have dreamt a better song, honestly. And I just love the lyrics. I wrote some of them down.
Okay.
I love, so here I am looking pretty for you. It's just so 80s. They come and go, but no one else here will do. So I'm dancing alone, dreaming solo, because your love is the one worth waiting for. It's just like heaven. Like, it almost gives me Blondie vibes.
It's giving me more like Molly Ringwald if she were choosing a song to walk to her locker to.
Oh, goosebumps.
So this is a song where it comes on because I'm listening to the rest of the album and it takes me a second to like warm up and get into it. Even though I really like It's Friday Night, I feel all right. I like, time a song says that, I'm like, I've heard this 50 times and I like it every time. But I feel like the tone changes a little bit because she's like, nothing's gonna hold me back. I'm doing fine. It's my life, nobody's gonna bring me down, blah, 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 blah. And then she's like, I'm dancing alone, I'm looking pretty for you. I'm like, what do you want, Ashley?
Right.
What do you want this song to be? Because I'm confused. I like it, but it sounds like two songs that she'd written like parts to were like smushed together.
Yeah, I totally get that. It's like, are you sad or happy? Are you sad or independent, gal? Which one is it?
Yeah, but I do like when she says, I'm so hot, I'm so hot, I'm so hot.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's actually lean into that for a second, because that's a good example of a good moan. a good groany moment where it's not a squeak, but it's like a sensual, like, do you know what I mean?
I think there was squeak adjacent here though.
Yeah, this is probably the closest we get to a real good, a good solid squeak for sure. That is one of my, that's my favorite part of the song though, in the background when the synth is really loud and it's like, oh god, it's so, I'm gonna listen to it as soon as we're done recording.
No, I love that part because I'm also like, I don't get it. I don't get how this fits into this song, but it's fun. This is a Frankenstein song. I'm sorry. I like it. I don't dislike it at all, but this is like Dr. Frankenstein was like,
bleh. Yeah.
Let's if Dr. Frankenstein with Shanks or whatever his name is.
Yeah. No, you're right though. It is, it's a bunch of different songs mashed up. And I don't necessarily, well, maybe, I don't know. I was going to say, I don't know if it fits with the rest of the theme of the album. But the album does have, like, there are a lot of random 80s moments, which I wish that the whole album was just that. Like, I wish that this was just her emotion, because it wants to go there, but it doesn't always go there. And it's, like, it kind of veers off sometimes and goes into, like, a weird rock element. But, like, it wants to be an 80s album.
Yeah, this is an identity crisis album. You called it a trauma album. I think that there were inconsistencies, but I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's as strong sonically and as autobiography, but I think that there are some great moments on here that didn't deserve to be just like fully crapped on.
It's like, honestly, I know that I say this every time I talk about her, but it's just so insane to think about what her whole career would have been like had that one like second moment.
I know.
That insignificant moment not happen, and it just meant so much to people. Like, it was so, it like really affected people in a way that was like, girl, what are you going through? Like, it's not that deep.
Yeah, I don't, it makes no sense to me that how many people's careers are, but others, I'm gonna get canceled. But like Ariana Grande can kind of do whatever she wants at this point, and she's still going to do well. You know what I mean? But there are so many other artists where they like have one mistake and like fully canceled. Like, the world was ready to just be done with Britney Spears, like fully. Like, oh, she has personal struggles. Like, no. Yeah. And then she out with this groundbreaking album that literally changed the face of pop music, and no one knew that it was about to do that, and then it did, and so people were like, oh, okay, like whatever, like she's fine, I guess.
Yeah.
And then she, like, another hit album after that, right? Like an actual commercial hit album. But then Ashley was just like, I mean, it's not like Ashley's like a top tier like pop artist that is like changing the game or anything, but like,
right,
she did good, fun things. She had a niche that she worked with. She had an angle that she worked with, you know, and my sister, and I have my own sound. And she really does. Like, Jessica Simpson and Ashley Simpson do not have the same sound.
Right.
And so it, like, she got an unfair deal.
Yeah. And I think that, like, looking back now, because we're obviously much wiser now, it's like, people used to make fun of her for not wanting to be like hypersexual and like a classic pop girl. And it's like, well, looking back, it's like, well, because she saw what it did to her. Like, it ravaged her sister. Like, it tore her sister to shreds. And it's actually, I mean, obviously she had her dad to thank for being able to just kind of do whatever she wanted, you know, but it's also wild that she, as a teenager, had enough like wherewithal to be like, no, I'm not going to try and pretend to be Britney Spears. Like, I'm not. Because a girl in her position, it's like, what else would you do, you know?
And also, could you imagine Ashley Simpson with like her voice and her personality trying to be like a Britney or Christina?
No, like literally being like a Willa Ford, because you know she'd be one of the C-tier girls.
Oh no.
You know that's true. She would be like a fucking, she'd be like on a mall tour with Samantha Mumba.
I was just thinking Samantha Mumba. I'm not joking. I cannot believe you just said that. That album's a bop though. Don't get me started.
We'll have our Samantha Mumba moment. It's due. I bring her up so much on this podcast.
I that I listened to that album a lot because I'm just quick story. I checked it out from my local library, the CD, and I ripped it to my computer, and then I just like had it, and so I was like, well, I have this, so I'm gonna. Is that illegal? I don't know. Anyway.
I just like, I love that you slid the Samantha Mumba CD across the counter at your local library. And the library was probably like, what?
Yeah. I was like,
I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on Burning Up.
There are moments that I like of this song. But I don't need to hear her go. I don't need it. I'm sorry. It's so weird. It's just like they could have gotten rid of this track.
I hate when I tell you I hate this song. Like, it is one of, you know, when like after many, many years of skipping a song, it's almost like your body instinctively knows. Like, you get this weird, like, oh, I don't listen to this song. I never listen to it. Like, I skip it. I listened to the song today all the way through, probably for the first time in at least, I'd say probably 10 years. I also had deleted it from my track listing, so I had to download it again so that I could be fair to this episode. It's a weird 70s porn funk moment.
So I like to torture myself, and sometimes when I revisit albums, like, I make myself listen to them like in full, mm-hmm, unless it's totally atrocious and I can't do it. This isn't totally atrocious to me because I have my terrible taste sometimes. But this is not it. Like, this is like a, this is a I'm horny but I'm not gonna sleep with you song that we didn't need from her, because we already got that, like, she wasn't trying to like portray this back and forth. She was just like singing whatever and being angsty. But to say goodnight, the time's not right, so say goodnight before I die, and then she's like, I'm burning up for you. Like,
it's like, it's just so, sometimes it honestly feels like a parody. Like, it feels like an SNL, like, porn song, even down to the, like,
the Seinfeld theme. I really like the music, though. I feel like if there were different lyrics on top of the track, it would have been fine, because I feel like the funk is, like, fun, I didn't need anything else.
No. Actually, you know what? I wrote that in my notes, and I said I can admit that there are fun elements to this song. The background music is pretty cool. It's like, you know, once you get through like the first 2.5 minutes of the song, then you're kind of like, huh, but then it's like over.
And then she sings the chorus again and again, where she's just like,
oh,
like, I don't need it.
Right? Yeah, it's a lot. It's a skip for me. Actually, it's a full delete for me, let's be honest. Let's talk about Catch Me When I Fall. You love this song.
New York's hottest nightclub is Catch Me When I Fall. The reason I said that is because I put my hands together as if in prayer. But I love this song. I love an Ashley Simpson piano moment. I feel like she is made for a smoky, just like party with like rich white people where they're just like sitting on the piano and like drinking too much while the kids are upstairs. And the nanny's watching them while the parents are getting just obliterated in the 30s or something. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
This is where she thrives.
Yeah, this is a standout moment for me. It's very like, I don't know, it's just, it's really good. Another trauma song. This one I think is a more direct response to SNL. And I remember, you know, a lot of people don't talk about the fact that she actually went back on SNL.
I don't remember it. And I tried to find if you can send me a video. I tried to find a video of her performing the second time on SNL, and it was nearly impossible to find unless I'm just terrible at the internet.
Yeah, I'll try. I'll see if I can find it for you. It's probably on like Daily Motion or something. I'm gonna cut that out. but no, it's really, really good. And when she was on Watch What Happens Live recently, she didn't talk about the song directly, but she did bring it up. Yep. And Andy asked, like, would you ever go back on SNL? And she was like, I did. And she actually fucking killed this performance. She was, if memory serves, I remember her being barefoot, and I remember there being a piano moment, and I remember it just being very what you said. It was very like cigarette holder lace gloves. I mean, honestly, it was really, really good. This is a great fucking song. And you're right. Yeah. It lends itself to her voice. Like, this is like the best she sounds, really.
Yeah. Because I think that this was written in a way where it didn't do anything to like overextend her, like Pieces of Me, where she had to literally scream. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that she has like a super thin voice, you know what I mean? I don't think she has a super powerful voice. I think she can like project well, but I think so many of her songs are written in a way where she has to like pop a blood vessel to hit the note, and this one isn't. It's just like, it's tame, but it also like shows a little bit of the depth to her voice.
Yeah, it gets to like, it's cool because she gets to go into those really deep sort of like brown liquor moments, you know. It's like, it's very brown liquor on the rocks. And you're right, like, that's why I never understood why they released La La as a single, because it's like, who the fuck can sing that? More or less a girl that already has like a raspy in and yeah. out voice, like
hemorrhoids, like
right, it's true. And the lyrics are great. I actually wrote down some of the lyrics of this one too. Because this song is also, aside from being a response to SNL, it's like a response to fame and how sort of empty it is. Mm-hmm. And she said, when the show is over and it's empty everywhere, it's hard to face going back alone. So I walk around the city, anything to clear my head. I've got nowhere to go, nowhere but home. It may seem I have everything, but everything means nothing when the ride that you've been on, that you're coming off, leaves you feeling lost. That's mm-hmm. profound. I'm sorry, but that's a profound statement.
I also like the way that she says nowhere. She does a little, oh gosh, I'm so terrible at knowing actual technical musical terms, but she goes, no.
Yes. Yes. And her voice is so raspy.
Riff, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is great. This is a song I feel like I appreciate much more as like, than when I'm like older.
I'm sorry, Troy, is that a whiteboard behind you? And do I see written, Ashley Simpson is the queen of blue-eyed soul? That's so weird. That you just snuck that in.
Let me change my Zoom background real quick.
Can you get a shirt that says that and wear it in public and see if people are like
yes, absolutely. I actually I was looking online at like old, it was like looking at this like vintage t-shirt shop like on Instagram, and they had some old Ashley tour shirts, and I was like, bitch, like, literally, don't you dare. I'll pay anything. let's talk about I Am Me.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, I live for this song. This is a song that I will go to and listen to.
Yeah.
I love whenever, like, a privileged celebrity is like, I'm going to release my gritty rock song and just, you know, talk about how I'm authentic. And I'm like, yeah, I am your target demographic. I know exactly who I am. And you know who you are. And we are meeting in the middle. But you don't know who you are, because otherwise you wouldn't release a song like this. But right. I love it. I eat it up. I like pour it in a bowl. I'll lap it up like an alley cat, like in La La. And I want it. I want it all. That's what I have to say. So I'll see myself out.
Wait, speaking of licking it up like an alley cat, can we talk about the fact that I had to tell you that that song was about sex in our text?
No, listen.
You were so Pollyanna.
No, listen, I knew that it was like about that, but I was like, is she just talking about how, like, oh, I want a guy, like I'm burning up for him, like this, you know, song or whatever, or is she just like, this is I'm literally talking about the act.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't paint me in a different light than I am.
I was like, Mr. Chambly, she's giving you raunch, is what she's
in doing. France, we do things so differently, you know what I mean? Right.
No, I Am Me is like, so I Am Me has one of my favorite pop tropes that I'd love to talk to you about.
Okay. Woo.
I love a pop song that's written in quotes about a relationship, but it's also a thinly veiled message to the media.
Oh, okay. Yep.
It's very Britney.
Yeah. Give me some other examples.
Britney's Oops album has a lot of examples of this, where it's like what you see is what you get is a good example of like
exactly where my brain went.
Yep. Right. Where it's like, this is in quotes, a song about a boyfriend who's like, you know, doesn't let me be myself, but this is really about Britney telling the media, I can wear my skirts as short as I want them. I can wear my jeans as low as I want them to go. And you aren't going to stop me. I love that. And this is definitely very like, you know, this is Ashley's like middle finger to Rolling Stone, basically, you know?
Good. I hope that they heard it.
Me too. I hope it's still hurting them.
Yeah, it's not soulless. Okay, Rolling Stone.
Yeah. This is great. This is like, also, sometimes, by the way, I use the cord on my headphones as hair.
I know.
And you see me do that, and it's like wild that you haven't said anything. No, but I Am Me also lends itself to Ashley's obsession with Hole, because she sounds like she's pretending to be Courtney Love in this song, mm-hmm. and it's great. She does a really good pop punk impression of Courtney Love.
Put this on a scale. Yeah, this song is aggressive, but like as aggressive as Ashley Simpson can be, but like I'm here for it. Like I wanted to be at the rehearsals where she's just like jamming out to this and like really feeling it, and like feeling like a real musician. Cause she is. I mean, like she writes her, you know, her stuff, and that's like her musicianship. Everybody's musicianship is different, but I just really want to like be there to like it, but also kind of make fun of her in my brain, but also like get it. You know what I mean?
That's the perfect place to be. Like that's where you should be. You know, to understand the camp, but also be like, but no, this is some real shit, but also this is ridiculous.
Like that Rolling Stone review said that there's no guilty pleasures, and a song like I Am Me exists. I don't know.
It's absurd. Some Lindsay fucking
paid them to write that.
Yeah, I was gonna say some old white guy wrote that. And yeah, oh, and can we talk about the fucking end of the song? The whoa, are you kidding?
And whoa. I mean, that's that 90s post grunge, like it's like a softer version, but
that's the closest we get to a traditional squeak at the end. Uh-huh. Which is, I'm gonna make a compilation of every time you and I have tried to mimic Ashley squeak, each time thinking that'll be the moment, and that'll be the whole episode.
Can that be the teaser to this episode? It's just us going,
we're back. Okay. And also, by the way, just the last thing to say about this song before we move on from it is like, it's perfect right after Catch Me When I Fall, because it's like, it just wakes you up. And that song is so sort of like, woe is me, whatever. Yeah. And then this one is the complete, total opposite.
The end of the album is the most cohesive, even though those songs are juxtapositioned, you know? Mm-hmm. I love the last bit of the album so much.
Oh, well, then I'm excited to hear your thoughts on Eyes Wide Open, because this is like such a unique song.
I love this song.
Okay, tell me everything.
So I didn't know what it was about until I was researching for this pod. I didn't know that it was about a ghost. Mm-hmm. And so I really don't know a ton about that subject, like if why she was feeling she was haunted. Like maybe you have more insight there. But I always just liked this song because it just hit, you know. I had no idea what it was about ever. I didn't even assume it was about anything, to be honest with you. But I it was like it was giving me like Flyleaf. You know what I mean?
Wow. Okay, yeah.
So I really liked it.
Okay, well, so this song actually is a really dark internet history.
Oh, okay.
It's super dark, but we have to talk about it because it actually became a part of the legacy of the song. So there was an internet rumor. I don't know where it started or like how it blew up, but it became like a thing that this song was about a sexual assault.
Oh gosh. Here I am. I'm like, I love this song.
No, but like, I mean, we'll never know if that was the case, but like it was rumored on the internet very heavily that this song was about Ashley witnessing a sexual assault in her family. And then people like alluded it to being about Papa Joe, and it had all of these really dark, like teenage message board theories behind it. And it actually became like such a moment that Ashley had to call into TRL and explain. The reason people know that this song is about a ghost is because Ashley had to call into TRL and confirm what the song was about. And they did it.
This moment.
Well, because they did it in this very sort of like, you know, and Ashley, hey, by the way, there's this other really cool track on your album called Eyes Wide Open. What's that one about? And she had to be like, oh, it's about a ghost in my house. You know what I mean? They tried to like put a bow on it and really make it, you know, make it nice. But it was like the internet had created this theory that this song was about Joe being a creep. And yeah, I hadn't thought about that until today. And I was like, holy fuck. I remember waiting with bated breath for Ashley's call into TRL to confirm the truth about Eyes Wide Open.
Now that I'm reading the lyrics, I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah, you read the lyrics and then you're like, oh, okay, well, I can understand how people would have thought that this was like dark-sided.
Yeah. Ooh. But I'm also like, this also is kind of like she sees a ghost.
Well, I guess I just feel like it would be so weird for Joe Simpson to push this song even being on the album if it was a thinly veiled song about Joe. You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, I hear you.
This is all his creation. I don't know. It's weird.
Now that I'm reading the lyrics, I mean, I've listened to the song plenty of times over the years, but now that I'm reading the lyrics, I'm remembering what I thought it was about earlier. I know I said I didn't think it was about anything, but remember that I could hear her breathing. No one believed me. It felt like an out-of-body experience is what she was talking about. I also was a little nerd, and in middle school, I was like reading books about like astral projection. So that's probably what I was thinking of, where she was like experiencing something, but out of her own body. So she was watching it happen.
Right.
The subject matter, I don't know, but that's where my mind went. And it was just a little ambiguous.
Yeah. And she's sort of having this like, almost sort of passive aggressive relationship with this weird moment that happened where like nobody believes that she had it. And also and then I can understand where it would have like a ghosty element because it feels like she's singing about basically being taunted.
This is her spooky song.
Yeah, it is her spooky song. And it's a good theatrical pops. I mean, it's such a theatrical song. It almost gives me like, I don't know, like wind machine, curtains blowing. Like, I can see the visual element of this song in my head, and it's just so, it's so theatrical and like over the top, but like in the best way, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I am getting sucked up in people's thoughts on the internet right now.
I know. I'm sorry I introduced you to a dark-sided thing.
I'm closing this out. I'm closing this out. No, okay. No, I'm not to get deep here, but this is fun and lighthearted. this, you know, this pod and everything that you do, but people, if they do not feel like they have a voice to say what they need to say through right. traditional, you know, outlets there, and she's an artist, she's gonna write a song. And if she is saying what people theorize that she's saying, we have to respect that, you know?
Yeah.
But until we hear from her, we don't know. So I'm gonna jam out to it and disassociate, because I really like the song.
Yeah, and either way, it's incredible. I mean, I think it's one of the most well-written songs of her career, like, because it really it takes you on this like journey. Like, it like really sets a tone and a mood, and I don't know, it's good. It's a really good end of the album track too.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's where it should be.
And there's something about a song that gives you a clear visual. Like mm-hmm. I can just imagine, I always imagined Ashley like laying down and her eyes were open. Like mm-hmm. that is just where my brain went. But I'm remembering now, my brain had her like in white. It was kind of like icy. She was in like an icy cave.
Okay.
That's where my brain always was. And then the next song was kind of a continuation of that visual for me.
Okay. I'm just gonna tell you right off the bat, I'm obsessed with this song. So be gentle and be delicate and be really respectful of my feelings when it comes to Say Goodbye.
Well, you have nothing to worry about, because it's probably one of my favorite Ashley songs.
Oh my God, Chambly. Oh, I love this fucking song so much. I listen to it a lot. Like, I honestly, when I'm listening to this album, I never don't listen to Say Goodbye. I love it so much. Thanks.
And sometimes I'm just like, I just want to hear Say Goodbye.
Same.
I do this thing where, so obviously, like, I am, you know, your level of obscurity in pop music. And so what I like to do is sometimes I'll play a deep cut of a pop song, of a pop, you know, girlie's discography, and make my boyfriend listen to it and be like, who do you think this is?
That's so good.
So bad. And we were on a road trip one time and I played this song and he was like, this is really good. And I was like, I'm gonna shatter your preconceived notions. And then I told him it was Ashley. And he was like, oh.
That's a fun, you should record yourself doing that for TikTok.
Right?
You should turn that into like a thing. Like, who do you think
is this? I can't exploit him though. Like, I'm already exploiting him, the fact that I said this. So this will be the one and only time that I speak about this.
Okay.
For the sake of my...
I respect your privacy. No, this is also this is extremely Carly Rae Jepsen to me. This is like two of my favorite songs from the Emotion album are All That and Warm Blood. Mm. And this is like, I mean, this could be on that album. It is just melodically, it's so catchy. It kind of, it has the same melody as Michael Jackson's Human Nature. It's just so, it's so...
Wah, 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 wah.
Right? Like almost exactly the same. And yeah, you know, I'm a sucker for the end of an end of album track. I always love.
This is a strong one.
Yeah. This is such an underrated song. And yeah, it's sad 80s vibes. This is also very John Hughes. Like it's real. This is very 16 Candles.
Yeah. And this is another one that I think is good for her voice.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's nothing complicated about the lyricism,
mm-hmm.
but simple doesn't mean bad.
Right.
And I think that this is a really good example of simple and, you know, like it's slow, but kind of mid-tempo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's one that I it's easy for me to want to listen to this, even if I forget about it, because it's not front of mind for me. If I scroll past it or I think of Ashley and, you know, I see this album cover, like Say Goodbye is what I think of when I see this album.
Oh my God, you are speaking my language, sir. Oh my God, it's, yeah. And it's got like a the like a perfect tempo drum machine in the back. Just like, it's just so, it's so 80s. And I wish that we could, I mean, I guess like there's always been kind of an 80s element to Ashley's music. Like her first album is like kind of like, it's got like Blondie vibes to me. And then this is like real synthy. And the next one is like full, I mean, her next album is full on 80s, like unapologetic.
And this is a song where I feel like, you know, you're, let's say that you are getting your taxes done. Okay.
Okay. All right.
And you're in a small room with lots of other people and it's kind of tense because you're getting your taxes done. And so they like pump oxygen into the room so that you can relax a little bit. It's a little dreamier of an experience for you. Taxes part, but the dreamier feeling. I don't know why that was the analogy I went with, but here we are. That's the song for me. Someone just kind of like gave me a little relaxing oxygen or whatever it might be. And I'm like thinking and feeling things. I'm not like on a trip or anything like that, but I am just in a less inhibited state of mind.
No, I get that. It's very like head floating off your shoulders, kind of like I'm lost in it. Like I picture, I've had many moments of listening to this song and like, you know, like falling into like the cliche of like, I'm listening to the soundtrack of my life on my iPod, like it, you know, and like being like on the train or something and like this song coming on. It's just very like, I don't know. It's so good. I'm so happy that you love this song.
Yeah. Oh, so much. So much. hold on. There's one thing that she says. And now that we're talking about it, I'm forgetting. I think it's the way that she says, is it frightened? I think she says, I'm not frightened without it. Like, done. But she just fully removes the T and it's just a D, frightened.
Yeah, you're right. I never thought about it. that's so funny.
Sorry, that took me a while to get there, but I really had to say that. I had to say that to you.
That was worth it. I'm sad that it's the last song. I love this album so much. This is obviously, like you said earlier, this album isn't put together as well as Autobiography, because it's almost unfair, honestly, because Autobiography is such a flawless album in many ways, like a flawless pop punk album. It's like, just unfair.
And let's just listen to Surrender just over and over.
Right, seriously. Oh my god. Well, I guess, do you have any closing thoughts on I Am Me?
This is an album that upon, you know, listening as an adult and really listening, not just listening in the way that I like to revisit the certain songs that I like, listening to the whole album, the highs are high, the lows are like really low. Mm-hmm. Mountains and valleys. Some songs did not hold up.
Yeah, 1000%. Some of the songs are, there are no abysmally bad songs on Autobiography. Like there are no songs in that album where I'm like, like I can't even,
you know how I feel about Giving It All Away. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot about your trauma. But no, this album's bad songs are like horrendous to me, but the great songs are so great. I mean, it's still, you know, it features two of my all-time favorite Ashley songs, which is Dancing Alone and Say Goodbye. I mean, it really, you know, it's almost like one of those moments where the songs I like so much that it automatically goes up to my favorite album, but it's like not actually my favorite album, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So if you're thinking about Autobiography versus I Am Me, not considering Bittersweet World, just like right now where we are in this point in her career, which if you could only pick one, which do you choose?
Oh, that's such an aggressive question.
Thank you.
Never felt so attacked. I mean, I guess I would have to say, damn, this is really, I would have to go with Autobiography, I think.
Do you want to know why I'm autobiography.
Why?
I'm with you, autobiography. Not even because, like, Surrender is amazing and Nothing New and some of those other ones that we discussed the last episode, but whenever you press play in your portable CD player like I did, I'm just like, okay, I want to listen to the full album. That mm-hmm. I mean, that I'm choosing it. I don't know if that makes any sense to anyone listening, but that's why I choose autobiography.
No, that is the reason to choose it, because it's a full album playthrough with, you know, maybe a couple skips or maybe one, but like for the most part, it's an album. You don't listen to autobiography and not have the intention to hear the whole album. And that's,
yeah,
right. Yeah, exactly. And like, that's a really, for a pop album, I think that's the goal. Like, that is the whole point, is like, you know, let's get them to play it the whole way through every time. I don't play I Am Me the whole way through every time, so I can't pick it.
Yeah, I agree. Even though some of the bright spots are brighter at mm-hmm. times, depending upon how I'm feeling, I agree with you. And this isn't to say that Boyfriend's opener isn't so iconic.
Oh, like, my God. It's
neck and neck with the beginning of my autobiography, but autobiography's opener is like, okay, I'm strapping in for a full album experience, and Boyfriend's opener is like, oh, hell yeah, this is so good, and then I'm going to skip around.
Well, are you ready for this Bittersweet World tease that's going to be happening here fairly shortly?
I texted you, remember, whenever I was like, well, I had to listen to the full Bittersweet World album, and I have so many thoughts. Oh my goodness.
That's going to be really interesting. Not only because, first of all, I hope that you're prepared that we're going to alienate half my listeners, because that is that's a niche album. I mean, you really had to like be along for the journey. You really had to be a real Ashley fan to even go that far.
I'm not expecting, I mean, the fact that anyone listens to anything that I have to say is a blessing for me, and I truly do not take it for granted. I'm not joking. So if we have to talk to 12 of your listeners, then we're going to have a party together.
Yeah, I'm excited. Oh, wow. Mr. Chambly, thank you so much for doing this with me. This was so much fun. Tell people where they can find you on all your things.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me back. The fact that I wasn't a one-hit wonder, once again, not taking that for granted. So on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, you can find me at Cham Breezy. It's a play off the last name, and Breezy is spelled with Z-E-Y at the end.
Yes. By the way, Jesse's real name is not actually Chambly. If you are listening to this and haven't listened to our first episode together, it's just the way that I choose to pronounce it.
Mm-hmm. It is a French last name, but because of white supremacy, I know nothing about my ancestry.
I like to sprinkle a little Cajun seasoning on your name when I say it.
It needs it. I, you know, we can, that's a whole other conversation. About but yes, just Chambliss.
Well, Mr. Chambly, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Thank you for listening to Dunzo. This podcast is a part of the Solid Listen Network. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/solidlisten for exclusive content. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy McGee, and you can follow the podcast on all forms of social media at Dunzo Pod. That's D-U-N-Z-O. Thank you to executive producer Molly McAleer and coordinating producer Nicole Matthew.